Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
Hello, everybody. This is Apostle Kimberly Daniels, and I'm back. We've been on a sabbatical, been away for a while. I hope you've enjoyed the recordings that we put on, but I'm in the radio live right here at Praise 107.9, and I have some guests with me. But, you know, I always have to put a scripture out there, and I just want to kind of drop this in your spirit. Psalms, the 11th chapter, the 3rd verse, ask a question. And you know it's very important, and we need to pay attention when a question is asked. That's because there needs to be an answer. And this particular scripture says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the unyieldingly righteous do? And that word foundation in the Hebrew, it literally means to be politically and morally correct. That's right, church. We need to get our politics together. We need to know that we know that we know that when we go to the polls, we know what we're voting for. And I've noticed that there are so many special interest groups that they have their agendas, and they're not ashamed about it. They're upfront. They're bold about it. But for some reason in the church, we sit back and we don't say anything. I truly believe that the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, that we are the silent majority when we let a loud minority, you know, be heard, and we sit back and we say nothing, but the church has a voice. And with me, you know, I am a state representative. I've traveled to 35 countries, written over 22 books, and done all of that. But more than anything, and first and foremost, I am a child of the King, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ. You know, I was looking at, you know, we keep these periodicals, like everything that goes on in the floor in the House of Representatives, it is recorded. Every word you say, everything, every prayer that was prayed, every person that came up to make any motion, what all the votes, it's all put in there, every single thing. And I was thinking about, and I did the opening prayer for session in my first year, and I went and I saw the first page, and it was, wow, I was in the book. You know, I was so excited about that. And then all of a sudden it came to me, wow, I'm excited about this, but there's a book of books that I need to be in. You know, when it's all said and done, when we open the book of life, when the book of life is open, I want to be in that book. And you know how excited I was to see my name and to see the prayer that I prayed in that book at the House of Representatives in 2017. Wow, that was so deep. But I'm telling you, what's even deeper is that when your name is in the ultimate book that counts. So we're here today, and I'm dedicating this time that we have to faith, family, and politics. Now, you know, that's a pretty good topic right there. Faith, family, and politics. And I have some very, very special guests in the studio with me today. First of all, I have Jacksonville City Council member Al Ferraro, and he is a council member in District 2. And guess what, y'all? He's my council member. So that means that if I have any problems in my community, in my neighborhood, he is the person that I can go to that represents me on the council in Jacksonville, Florida. And I'm so excited to have him here. You're going to hear from him. And also, I have with me Jacksonville City Council member Terrence Freeman. And Terrence is the council member over District 10. And District 10 is, guess what, where my favorite place in the world is Sherwood. Y'all know, y'all hear me talking about. And Facebook family, God bless you. And if you, I know you can't hear the radio broadcast per se, but can you just hang in there with me? I promise you I'm going to come on and we're going to have some interaction, because I think it's a blessing when you come on just to check out what we're doing here. But we have this council member from District 10, Councilman Terrence Freeman. And, you know, we want to talk about some community stuff, and it's okay. We got some conversations. Now, we had another young man in here. He stepped out. I don't know what happened. He got a phone call. I think maybe he had to step out for a minute, but maybe he's coming back in. We'll see. You know. But anyway, we did have, you know, like I said, we had Republicans, Democrats. I'm a Democrat sitting here with two Republicans. We got a Democrat that just slipped out the door. And maybe he'll come back. And we want to talk about some things concerning the community and the church that I believe is very important. First of all, I want to start out by giving my guests a few minutes to talk about, and we're going to start to talk about they're up for election. They can talk about the election. They can also talk about whatever they're doing in the community, however the Lord leads. Can we just be free? The one thing I prayed about, and I asked God if we can have a where the rubber hits the road or meets the road meeting, where it is what it is. You know, we don't have to put a game face on. We don't have to fake it till we make it. And let me tell you what I hate. I hate politics. I hate games when it comes to the representation of God's people. And you know, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed to bust folk out either, you know, because I'm talking to you, and you know, I'm the one that's on here, whether it's a campaign or whether it's a not campaign. I'm talking to you every week, 6 times a week, 6 days a week, 1 hour on this station, and a half hour every day during the lunchtime on another program. And so, you know, we like to keep it real. So if we can have Councilman Ferraro come up and just greet everybody and speak what's on his heart.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me out here. What you said earlier is so important. You know, it doesn't really matter if you're Republican or Democrat. And what I found as I got into the politics are the 5 voting groups. There's really 5. There's not 2 or 3. The Republicans, the Democrats, the nonpartisan. Then you have what everybody always hears about is the attorneys or the lobbyists. And then there's that one group that everybody attacks, and that's the faith-based. Faith-based is always the ones that are going to be attacked. We've seen this with the passage of a lot of bills, and a lot of people will come up to you and say, is this very hard to do as a city councilman? And, you know, how do you do this? And it really boils down to where there's a lot of easy things to do. You either do what's right or wrong, what's ethical or unethical, moral or unmoral. So I'm really glad you're having me out here on this, because faith-based is not talked about enough, you know, and we have too many things that divide us. And to be on your show, to talk to people who put God first, that's really what we need to do. And I think if a lot of these problems can easily be solved with faith and doing the work of what God's put out in front of us, and if we follow that path, it doesn't matter what neighborhood, it doesn't matter what color, it doesn't matter, you know, how much money you make, and that's what's important. And I'm just so glad you have me on your show out here today, and I hope that we can get some calls from people and talk about different things in the community, of what's important to people, and what our ideas are that we think we can fix it.
Wow, and you know what? You know, I am kind of, sometimes I feel like I'm in the middle, you know, because I don't like to play the games. You know, like if you don't agree with certain status quo people, you're a racist. Well, guess what? I'm black. I'm not a racist. And guess what? I know black people can be racist, but some folk would try to make me racist against black people. Okay, so I mean, they got all these categories. And then if you may not agree with other folk, you're a sellout. You're a sellout. You're a racist. Right. Those games, those days are over. People need something that's real. Yeah. And I didn't come into this realm, into this arena for that. You know, I was doing very well as a international speaker, traveling the world, people rolling out the red carpet. You know, but you can come into this realm and people are very mean.
They are.
You know, they're very mean. And I'm telling you, some of the people that cry inclusion, they're some of the most exclusive people that I've seen. And one of the main things that's been excluded is the church.
You're absolutely
come on in,
right.
Come on in, my friend.
You're absolutely right.
All right, we got a. So let's allow, and then I got my buddies gonna come in here with me. But I want to go back to Councilman Ferraro, and then we're gonna get to District 10 over here and let him talk. And are you ready now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, go ahead, Councilman Terrence.
Well, Representative One, thank you for the invite and having us on the show tonight. And I would like to commend you for the work you're doing in Tallahassee. As one that's been following it from afar, I truly appreciate your stance and bringing prayer back to schools and the Bible and all the things that we know were the core fabric of every family when we were growing up. My path into public policy is not the unique one. It's not the common one, I would say. It's unique in my situation, an aspect of I was a former professional baseball player traveling the country, chasing that god of money.
Baseball?
Yes, ma'am.
Professional?
Professional. Did that for 6 years.
Wow, yes, ma'am. I never knew that.
Try not to talk too much about it.
I like you, but I like you more now.
All right.
No, talk about the baseball.
Well, baseball, it gave me a chance to broaden my horizons. I've been in 35 of the 50 states, played in or worked in, traveled through five different countries. As a young black man who grew up between poor and middle class, we had everything we needed, not necessarily all the things that we wanted. But when I finished my career, the upbringing that my family instilled in me, my father as a pastor, my mother as a social worker, my brother as a pastor and a preacher, selfless leadership, that was all that was modeled every day, and it's a part of my DNA. So I went into education. So I was a principal. I was a coach. I was a teacher at a Christian school on the west side of Jacksonville. But then God was tugging on my heart, and he said, Terrence, there are more kids out there that you can reach that remind you a lot of yourself and how someone thought enough of you to give you a glove. Someone thought enough of you to pay for your first camp. Someone thought enough of you to offer you a college scholarship. So I'll land here by saying I entered into this world of public policy so I could be that positive influence in the lives of kids and youth and making sure that the crime and the things that we're seeing, that we can address them so that they choose Jacksonville as home and have safe places to raise their families.
Wow. Now, you're in District 10 as the council member, but you are running for a very, very special seat. And do you know why that seat is so special? Because it's the seat that I used to be in, City Council at Large Group 1. So I got some roots. I got a little something to say about that seat. You know, I'm checking you out, you know. I got on the ballot and within 2 months got almost 93,000 votes.
Wow.
I didn't, to be honest with you, can we keep it real?
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't even know what a city council seat was. Just by the leading of God. Now, you know, only God, I'm the only African-American female to hold a citywide seat.
I didn't know that.
The only. Mm. Not the first, the only.
Wow.
And so, Democrat, okay? And so I'm pretty, it seems like a real good idea for you to come into that seat. I would love to have a council member like you over, because I got to explain to everybody, he's running for at large. That means he lives in a certain area, but although he live in that area, he's an at large council member. So that means that every person who has one council member, you actually have six, because you have five at large. That means citywide, but you still got to live in a particular place. And you have your one council member of your district and the five at large. So that's pretty cool. And you're running for that seat. And you know what? I don't mind. See, somebody, they may say, well, how can you support him? He's a Republican. Well, the lady that's running against him, she's a Democrat, and she supported the Republican against me. So it's all in the family. This is one big family, isn't it? So, I mean, really, this is America. And I feel like people ought to be free. People ought to be able to run for what they want to be able to run for. Every time I run, I don't know why, but I got to run. I'm a Democrat, and I'm a good Democrat, okay? And I have to run against the Democratic Party. There's a few folk who just said, we don't want her in that seat. And, you know, we don't let a few people determine our destiny.
That's right.
If
right.
The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And speaking of a good man, I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to come back to Councilman Ferraro. But I want to go over to my friend, my Democratic colleague, Darren Mason, and you are running for at-large Group 2.
Group 2.
Can you talk to the people and talk about your vision and how did you get here?
Absolutely. Well, it all started, you know, born and raised here in Jacksonville. Grew up in Arlington, graduated from Tara Parker High School. And so growing up here in the working class in Jacksonville really just provided me the opportunity to see firsthand through my dad, a sanitation worker. And so he would come home and tell us stories about how all the parts of the community and how it was one old lady that gave him and his partner lemonade. And so me and my brother watching him do his same routine every day. He'll go do his morning devotion. He'll go get his boots out the closet, wash his face, eat breakfast. And we knew that, you know, as soon as that door closed between the hours of 3 a.m. and 5 a.m., that we won't see dad for a long time. But he'll come back and say, you know, just all the different parts of town. And but he'll always come in the house, not just with stories, but a toaster that you got to flip two or three times, a used TV, just things that, you know, what we were excited about. And so we heard the cliche that one man's trash is another man's treasure. But for our household, that was the reality. And so, but once he would get off the truck smelling like trash, he would wash up, and then he was a youth pastor on the north side of town.
Wow.
And so even though that we had to sometimes have used stuff in our house, he would take those same hands and drive us and pack us in his old pickup truck, what we call Baby Blue, that he spray painted. and we would go to church, and we would serve the north side of town. And so what he showed us through his outreach industry, he also drove the church van. And so we realized that, and he taught us early, that no matter what we don't have or what we do have, it's still your responsibility to give back and to serve. And so that service right there has been just a part of my life. But also, growing up, I had to overcome a severe stutter. And I stuttered so bad that I had to write what I wanted to say. And so I know firsthand what it means to have to rely on someone else to speak up for you when you know you have potential. You know you what you want to say. You can feel it, but you just need help. And so my vision for city council, and while I'm running at large, is because my previous experience working in government was with Councilwoman Joyce Morgan. And so I saw firsthand that everything that we're fighting for is countywide. Everybody wants safe communities. Everybody wants to feel proud of their neighborhoods, and everybody wants a piece of the pie to ensure that if they have a dream here in Jacksonville to start a small business, they don't have to leave home to live it out.
You know, just in case, I know I got to say something for our Facebook family. Y'all listen, I feel the anointing in this place. Mm-hmm. I feel like I want to cry. I feel the anointing of God. And because I don't know if you heard what Darren said, but he overcame an extreme stuttering problem where he couldn't even express himself. And he's confident enough. And I know that comes from your roots.
Absolutely.
You know, you have to have faith.
Absolutely.
to believe that way. And you're confident enough to step out like you're stepping out now. And I want to tell you that you got my vote.
I appreciate that, woman of God.
I don't care if I'm in your district, if I'm on your ballot, you got my vote. I'm voting for you because you know what? Sometimes you don't have to hit the button or bubble in, but you can hit it in heaven.
Mm.
And I vote for you to pray for you. And I pray that God would bless the labor of your hands, and that he would send you everywhere that you're to go. And Alfred, could you just comment on that?
Well, I'm just so happy to be around with everybody here and talking about our beliefs in God, because we don't hear enough about that. Absolutely. And you know, any time that we have something that comes forward, it seems like if you have a religious belief and it's unpopular, it's something to be squashed on, and it doesn't matter by who it is. So, you know, making that leap out here, Darren, I certainly understand you know, coming out and talking in front of hundreds of people at a time sometimes is nervous, even if you've done it a lot of times. But faith is always the thing that really brings us all through it. If you speak from your heart, you speak with what you believe in, people will see that. They'll see what's important to you and hopefully give you that opportunity. Even if it's closed, as a Republican, I go in front of a lot of Democrats all the time. And a lot of times when I go out there, you have people that don't want to hear from you just because you're either a white guy or you're a Republican. Same thing that you have. We all have this in different areas that we have. But when you go out there and you speak and you start talking to people, they believe in what you're talking about. And then you can prove to people what you've done through your past works and stuff like that. Did that get you through your cough?
I literally got choked up. I mean, Darren, you got me choked up for real. But I'm good now. But I just want to say that it is very important that we operate as Americans.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm a part of a party. Al Ferraro and my brother right here, you're part of a party. But you know what? We don't have to hate each other and beat each other down.
Absolutely.
I mean, these people, I'm telling you, when it comes to they want to kill. Listen, I'm saying, if you're trying to kill, steal, and destroy, then who are you working for? You know, the Bible says that the devil comes, that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Can't we? Listen, we can differ. We can have a difference
Absolutely.
Of opinions.
Absolutely.
But my God, we don't have to assassinate. And you know what it does? It makes you stronger. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage you guys, you know, that no matter what comes up in your campaign, hold your head up and keep moving forward and keep your eyes on your faith.
Because it seems like, you know, no matter who we talk with, no matter what party, we're all striving to go to the same place. Everybody wants something safe, good jobs, all through the thing. It's just the path that we take. We all have different ideas. And it's our job to see about showing that our idea is the way to go. And that's really where it is. It doesn't, you don't have anybody running for office saying we want terrible jobs or we don't, we
Absolutely.
Want bad roads. Everybody really wants the same thing. It's just the path that we take sometimes is different. And a lot of times by explaining how we came up with our ideas and how we're trying to go, that's where it is. But I think everybody in this room wants really the same things for all our families, all our friends in our country. So I don't think because somebody has a different idea that they're un-American or anything like that. And the civility really does need to get better to where if you can't talk with your neighbors and your friends in different parties, then we're kind of losing what we're all
here We're losing for. The purpose of what it was all about.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
And I just want to ask, start with you, Terrence, and then we'll go over to Darren, and then we'll go over to Al. We y'all don't mind if we just
sure,
be kind of informal in here and just kind of flow, you know? I mean, I'm in that flowing mode right now. It is time out for people who want to be in positions and they want to ignore the church. The church was the foundation of the civil rights movement and so many other movements. The church is what makes things move. Everybody want to talk about separation of church and state, but then they want to have souls to the polls Sunday.
That's right.
And I want to speak to those of you out there who are watching or listening and tell you that do not vote for these people who are voting for and supporting issues and agenda that do not line up with the things that pertain to the church. They come and they rape the church for votes. Listen, the reality is, you guys are sitting in the winner's circle. You didn't just come on a radio broadcast. You're sitting in the winner's circle. You just sat in a spiritual realm. This is not just natural, you know, but it is a place of authority and it's a place of honor. You know, this is somewhere we ought to be proud to be, to sit here and to talk about something good and positive instead of negative. So the question I want to bring to you, Terrence, and then Darren, and then to you, I want to bring this question. What do you bring to the table? You know, you got the LGBTQ. They have their meetings, and they want to know how you support them. You got the women's movements and different movements and this movement and that group and this group. But what do you bring to the table concerning the kingdom, concerning the church? I just want to take a few minutes and just expound on that.
We'd love to. And as Councilman Ferraro was sharing, I am a conservative, and a proud conservative, and I represent a district that has over a 60% rating of Democratic constituents. And I remember in my first town hall, shortly after I got in office, and 200 plus people, and the question came up time and time again, what qualifies you? How do we know that your values align with our values? And I said, that is an easy question, and thank you for it. What qualifies me, one, is a love of God, a love of people, and a heart to serve. And I think when you take those qualities, and that was all, those were all the things that I remember my parents and my dad when he would preach, and my brother who's currently a bishop up in South Carolina, those are all the values that I was taught. And so when we talk about dealing with issues, no matter what the walk of life someone comes into this room to sit in front of me and share with it, I'm going to always see them through a lens of love. So when I heard a lot of energy, a lot of emotion, a lot of passion, I wasn't offended. Because I know I'm answering a calling in my life. I feel that God purposed me to walk out of that world of Christian education, to come into this world of public policy, to better serve his people. And so whatever heat comes from that, I'm okay with that. Whatever praise comes from it, I always redirect that to others. Because I know that in the end, what we do here on earth should be pointing everybody else to God.
And Darren, you go ahead. Don't you choke me up again.
Well, for me, it's definitely what I bring. It's just the conviction of service. And so for me, you know, with everything that I've been able to overcome, it has taught me throughout the years to really listen and find the compassion of Christ in every situation. And so for me, what I bring is the ability to hear and bring all parties together, because this job is not about pleasing everyone. But it's also about giving the opportunity for different views and values to be shared, but being led by your conviction and the decision that we make. And so, you know, with me just growing up in the church and doing campus ministry in Tallahassee, mm-hmm. and help plant a church that you're very familiar with.
my overseer, Greg James. Yeah.
And so that's just something that I learned, and especially from him. Of just being on the ground, go ask those tough questions, bring them to the table, and confront it head on, and then by the time you leave with the information that you got, take it to the Lord and make sure that you make the best decision based on your convictions and your values.
Yeah, you know, I want to say this before we go to Councilman Ferraro. First of all, you and I have never talked about your faith. We didn't have to say, I'm a believer, I'm this, I grew, never. Mm-hmm. But there's something about you that though you were in leadership in the Democratic Party, and it's no secret mm-hmm. that right. nobody from the Democratic Party's leadership has ever embraced me, and it's all good. But you, for some reason, you were always kind, you know, and you know, you had your job to do, but you were respectful and you were kind. And that was the God in you.
Absolutely.
And so with God in us, we can't just do all of this foolishness. I have zero tolerance. There's so much to be done. I don't have time to be distracted by foolishness. So let's go to Councilman Ferraro, my council member. And what do you bring to the table?
Well, I'm one of those Catholics where from cradle to grave that you hear about. And I've always been somebody who's believed in God. I'm going to really make this short because I could make a whole segment just out of the story. But in 2010, I almost lost my wife. It was our 20th anniversary. And I was sitting in a hospital, and I was just praying. You know how they have the fold-out beds? And she was going to have surgery. And I prayed to God and prayed to God. We had been in there for about 2.5 weeks. And I prayed to God, and I just said, God, I want to make a promise to you. And whatever this promise is, I'm going to keep it the rest of my life. I just want to have another time with my wife. I don't want to lose her. And a lot of people have been in that same situation. And the deal that I made with God is that anytime I can help somebody out, I will. No matter how busy I am, no matter what's happening. Now, this was way before I got into politics. And after my wife got better a little bit at a time, I had people coming up to me, whether it was in Home Depot, whether it was out on the street, and just telling me things that they just wanted to get off their chest. It wasn't anything I had to answer. It wasn't anything I had to do. And as I did this, I followed where I could do more and more and more. So that didn't drive me into politics, but when it got into politics, it opened my eyes on the change that I could help and make throughout not just the district, but through the community, and listening and helping and doing things. Now, I don't want to compare that with road infrastructure and things like that, but there are things that you see that are helping. Some of the questions you asked about of what politics move through and what happens as you sit as a councilman on policies that have to do with our community, have to do with God and what we had been put forward to do. And these things make me strong to where when things came through like the HRO and things like that, these were not difficult decisions for me. They just weren't. These were things that I thought of that had been taught to me early on through mm-hmm. through the Bible and through my belief. And it's not something that I take lightly either. I can explain how I come up to my decisions and things like that, but it was my total faith. With Darren, he had, you know, a lot of strength through his father and his family. You go through Terrence. Everybody has that point in their life, or many points that push them. You had your stories too that I've heard through you of things that not just gave you your faith, but gave you your total strength in your faith that moves you forward in every day. And things like this, where I really believe when you have people in a position that we are as representatives of our community, if they believe in you and they believe that what you're saying is true, you can get things done through the city and help them, or through the state, or through the federal government, or whatever. And what happens is, I think that's the reason why we're attacked all the time as people of faith. Mm-hmm. No matter who we are, no matter what party, the faith is always being attacked, or the credibility is trying to be knocked down. And that's why it's so important for us to live up to what we're supposed to do.
Absolutely. And let me just talk to my Facebook family there. Listen, I need you guys to really pray. You know, the Bible says that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. In the 75th division of Psalms, it says promotion don't come from the south. It says promotion comes from the north. It says that God will pull one down. God will pull one down and put another one up. And I believe that word north, it relates to a secret place. There's something that happens behind the scenes. You know, you don't just jump up and get in a political office. You know, many are called, but few are chosen. And so it's not just being called, but it's being chosen. And the chosen are the ones who answer the call. And you got people here who answer the call. And I just thank God for the platforms that he's given me. I had these platforms long before political offices. So I'm not going to switch up on God and shift, because you got a lot of people, I think, that are very hypocritical when it comes to they say whatever they want to say or they need to say to get elected. And then when we need people to stand for us, they switch up. Now, we haven't talked about the mayor's race. I know that I'm not scared. I'm telling y'all right now, I'm not scared. And we haven't talked about it. We're going to talk about it, because people have been calling me and asking me, you know, who do I vote for? What about the mayor's race? Because I know that you guys probably don't know what's going on. And we're going to hit that. We're not going to touch on that right now. But because we got some phone calls saying, what about the mayor's race? I think that I just can't be quiet on that. So you know, you got people standing here that are not afraid. It you have to be very bold. It takes a lot of courage to come up against a prick, because I'm not the status quo Democratic. I'm not their choice. But guess what? The people chose me.
That's right.
And that's what matters, because my constituency, most of them believe. When I have town hall meetings, they are, yay, prayer in school. Yes, in God we trust. And you know, this bill that I have up now, it's where the rubber hits the road. It's where the rubber hits the road, because why wouldn't, are we still on?
Yep, you are.
We are? Okay. Uh-huh, prayer in school. The rubber is hitting the road. It's where the rubber hit the road, because to be honest and to be truthful, if you could just hold it. To be honest and to be truthful, why would somebody have a problem with somebody having an elective? Nobody's pushing it on you. You know what I'm saying? You get to choose. And everybody wants a choice for everything else. You know, I can choose to abort a baby, but I can't choose to take a certain class about the number one all-time bestseller book, you know, that no other book can stand before. All-time, historically, the best-selling book ever is the Bible.
That's right.
And I think that if that many people have bought that book and if it's the bestseller, somebody needs to know about it. So, there's no shame in my game, you know, and I don't expect everybody to be as radical as me, but I come from radical circumstances and radical situations, and I'm just not scared and I'm not ashamed.
You're keeping it real.
You got to keep it real, because guess what? What's real is the only thing that's going to last. See, what you see is temporal. That's what the scripture says in Corinthians. What you cannot see is eternal. And that word temporal in the Greek is pros kairos, pros getting ahead of, kairos the timing of God. Sometimes when we operate, God say his people perish for lack of knowledge. When we operate out of ignorance, we get ahead of the timing of God. We're going to wait on God. And this next upcoming elections, they're very important. And listen, I vote for everybody here. Listen, I support you because you support me. Why would I support people? Most of the people you running, I don't even know who you running against. But most of the people y'all running against, they don't support me. I support you.
Thank you.
Know, and I don't care about you having an R in front of your name. Y'all just go ahead. I'm getting all caught up. I'm flowing. So just whatever the Lord, we got a little bit of time. Y'all want to accept some, listen, we accept some calls. I'm telling you, if you call and cut up, we're gonna delete you, okay? So if you're mean, this is not a mean moment, an ugly moment. If you're calling to be mean, you're calling the wrong line because the anointing of God is in here. So if somebody wants to call and ask me, oh, see, I don't even know how to do that. You got it? I mean, if you got any questions, you know, no, don't push it all the way down. Yeah, you got it. Is it good? Okay, if anybody has any questions, how much time we got left? Hype man.
22 minutes.
We got 22 minutes. Come on, help me out. Help me out.
Well,
help me out.
I did just want to say, to go back to what you two were saying, you know, at the end of the day on council, and I'm sure Councilman Ferrero can confirm that you need 10 votes to get anything passed on city council. And so, being a Democrat on council, you outnumber already. So there's going to be times where you have to cross the aisle and have those conversations to get the things that you need done. And so me being a Democrat, black young man, and a believer of Christ, you know, it's not always the most popular thing. But like I said before, the conviction, and I think if you led by the conviction and not convenience.
Yes.
And so, like, I've been told that, Darren, this is your political start, and you know, you should wait, you have time, get in line. And I said, if this was my start, I would not be in Jacksonville, Florida, running countywide. I would definitely be somewhere else, because it wasn't my plan. My plan, I have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, a beautiful wife that is smart than me. And so we could have took our talents anywhere else, but we choose to be here and live here and serve here. And so I think that when we are at a place where we understand why you're doing what you're doing, because I was told 12 months ago, Darren, there's no way that you can do this. There's no way that this is possible. And so to be here where we are today with the message that has been received countywide, I mean, we've gone into places where you wouldn't expect somebody like me to not knock on your door. I talked to somebody today who was strong in the Republican Party, won't say the family's name, but our conversation was good. He challenged me on issue by issue, but at the end of the day, we realized that we all share the same values, that we share the same concerns. And so I think it's very important for our local politics to focus more so of how we serve the people and beyond the politics and all the rhetoric.
I would love to dovetail on that and the aspects of we all agree that potholes don't have a political affiliation. And Darren, you were an ECA, which is an assistant to a council member, just as I was. And I would share with the community often in town halls, I don't ever recall getting a call saying I have a Republican tree that fell in my yard, or that I have a right-of-way that is a Democratic right-of-way that I need you to send someone over. What they called with was a problem. And Darren, what we did as ECAs is we gave them, we offered them solutions, right? We went through our city departments and we made sure that different things got done so that our council members had one less thing taken off of their plate. For me, as I shared earlier, with baseball being such a difference maker in my life, now God changed my life, but baseball really exposed me to some things. Representative Daniels, you love to hear this, that I said, where's baseball in the community? The community that reminds me so much of a world that I grew up in. I talked to him, who's now the head coach at Reball, my good friend. I don't want to say his name in case he's a very modest individual, but Sean Highsmith. And he said, Coach, I got a three-year-old, will you please do a camp? I said, as long as we don't make it political, you got me. We had 100 kids sign up.
Oh, that's powerful.
75 or 85 of them got to the camp. Now, we were short equipment, so the Boys and Girls Club, they found out. They partnered with us. They bought gloves for these young men and women. We had ages 4 through 18. Then I realized that we didn't have coaches. I thought it was just going to be me with four of the kids, and I can manage that. FSCJ, I want to give them a shout-out. They sent some players. EWC sent players, and the head coaches came. And I said, specifically, send me some young men, black or Hispanic. And they said, why, Terrence? I said, because the demographics of this group, when they look up, I want them to be able to envision themselves in that uniform. Because that's the only way. My mother told me at 15, son, I love you, but I can't pay for you to go to college. Your brother is breaking the bank. Grandma and I, that's all we got. My daddy was a pastor making $600 a month. So we had to figure some things out. For me, it was jump high, run fast, and make as many A's as I could in school. And it worked out. And that's what I'd offer those kids. I gave them all my cell phone number. I said, whatever you want to be in life, I promise you, you have someone here that'll help you.
Can I dovetail into that?
Yes.
So one of the things that's really important to me is what I've seen that's happening throughout the country. It's happening through our city with the crime and the things that we have right now. And it's the breakdown of the family. Right now, I've got Darren, who's a great father, husband, dad. I've got Terrence over here who has the same thing. And I like to think of myself that way. But there's a lot of kids in our community who don't have that. And it's the breakdown of the family. And I honestly think it was designed that way by people, by getting people. You know, we have economic problems, not just in our city, throughout the country. And we have people that profit from that. We have people who you know, we're sitting in here as Republicans and Democrats talking about things that can help our city out, that can help our community, not district lines, but our whole community. But we have a breakdown in our family throughout the city. We have a lot of, you know, places where we don't have fathers or mothers. We've got grandparents and guardians. And I hope I'm not going any place. You said this was
a free-for-all we could do. I need you to flow because you're going right where you need to go.
Okay. And one of the reasons that I think it's really important in the job that I have that – as a lot of people know that I have a lawn maintenance company. And I go and I speak with a lot of kids, either with the Boy Scouts or different things on the privileges and the importance of voting and things like that. But one of the things that I always like to try to do is if I go in my suit as a city councilman, like you were just talking about having the demographics, I can't connect with a young kid who doesn't have a dad at home or has a broken home. But when I go in there as Al the yard man, and I go in with my boots and my jeans, and that's why you see me not dressed up a lot. You know, I can connect with younger people, and I can start talking to them. How I acquired a house, how I got it paid off early, how I ended up getting a beautiful wife and cars and trucks and boats and stuff, that it is attainable, because a lot of the kids don't think that these things are attainable. And the things that I grew up, because I'm older than most of the people in this room, you know, when I went to school, they taught different things, the trades. They taught all these different things in schools that they don't do now. And they're talking about pulling things out like cursive writing. That's what our founding documents are in.
We prayed in school.
Yes, we prayed in school. We did the Pledge of Allegiance.
We did
these things. These are all important things. And it drums down to the same thing that we're all talking about here, what's important for our families. Because I don't want to see anybody's family being destroyed. And what we've got to do is we got to use our religions, whether you're Catholic or Baptist or Methodist or whatever. We have to get in here and join and see what we can do to make our city better. Because on the when you start getting into the politics of the nation, most of those people came from local elections and came up. And you sometimes listen to people and go, man, where did they get that idea? That guy's crazy. but somebody didn't think he was crazy because they got voted in and stuff.
Exactly.
And that's why it's important, you know, when Darren said, you know, that coming in here and being outvoted because you're black or a Democrat, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care who somebody is or where they're from or what color of their skin, if what they're doing is right, you can count me in for supporting that person. And I don't care who it gets upset. And I can tell you, when I go into my community supports me 100%. We sit down at restaurants, people come up, they talk to me, they pat me on the back, and my wife, and they tell us, keep doing what you're doing. And we can go downtown, and people will act like I'm from another planet because I'm not doing what they want. And there are people that will continually, and I'm sure Terrence has been experiencing, there's people that will ask you to do things that you know are wrong. They don't come out and ask it that way, but they'll say it in a way where you know it's not the thing
exactly.
to do. And you're not representing your community. And when I say community, I don't mean district. Even as a district councilman, I look at what's right for our whole community, because if we do it wrong, we're in a position right now with our city and our government to where people are looking to see if we're going to do something right or do something wrong. And there's a lot of people praying that for headlines we do something wrong. And we need this. And I'm so glad you invited us here for this tonight. This is so important. It really is.
Well, you know, I think about 9/11, and this is just a picture that's often in my head. After 9/11, when that dust settled, and when all those people were walking around covered in dust, you couldn't tell who was black. Mm-hmm. You couldn't tell who was a Democrat. You couldn't tell who was white. You couldn't tell if somebody was American or from another country. But you know what? Everybody had something in common. They were under attack.
And we were all hurting watching that.
It hurt everybody. It hurt the very core of what we know is for America to be under attack. And I think we've been spoiled a little bit, because a lot of people, they talk a lot of noise because they never leave this country. But when I've traveled all over the world, especially, don't let me stay like a week. When I get back, I kiss the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, let it not be a secret. This sister love America,
Preach.
Okay? And so for all these people that got all these complaints on a bad day,
right?
America is the best country in the world.
Absolutely.
How about that?
Yes, absolutely.
So we got do we have like 5 minutes to have somebody to call in?
10 minutes.
We got 10 minutes. The phone number is 904-296-2251. 904. You know, if you want to ask a question, you know, of one of our candidates, council members, people that are here today, 904-296-2251. And I want you to remember the names: Councilman Al Ferraro, Councilman Terrence Freeman, and my friend Darren Mason, who's running for at-large group two. Councilman Ferraro is up for re-election in Council District 2. And my friend Terrence Freeman is currently a council member in District 10, but up for re-election in at-large group one. So we have somebody on the line? Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, good evening. I have a question. I wanted to know, like, what are y'all planning on doing about the violence and stuff with the youth and all the gangs and stuff going on? Because it's really getting crazy. And as a teacher, I teach younger children, and I just want to make sure that, you know, what are we doing for their future?
Thank you. That's a very good question. We're gonna start out with Councilman Freeman.
Well, one, thank you for our teaching. We definitely know that is a calling, and we all have plans. I tell folks this: I didn't have to change who I was when I came into this position of being a city council member. For years prior to becoming one, I've been a mentor, I've been a coach, I've been a teacher, I've been a principal. And so I have this thought in my mind. Some say it's a bit radical. Some say it's crazy. And it's this, the three E's. I think we have to educate kids first and educate them on careers. We know that poverty and economy and dollars, money, go hand in hand where there's in crime. So where there's a high poverty rate, you usually see the crime rate spike with it. So we got to start exposing these kids to careers at an earlier age. Some may say as early as third grade. I don't oppose it. I think by middle school, we need to bring these kids to these businesses. And I've already started meeting with business leaders around the region and saying, you want to fight violent crime? You want to put an end to this? Here are the steps that I believe will work. And I said, and when these kids come and visit you, I double dare you to give them a gift card to a restaurant on the way out the door. Man, what would some food do for these young men and women? And I said, and I based that off of a story of a 9-year-old. He's 18 or 19 now, that said when he was 9, he was the watch out guy on the corner. They gave him a couple of dollars. Say when he's 11, he ran the dope from right to left. And when he was 14, he had his first gun and he ran the corner. And I think the last thing is this, we got to offer internships and we need to pay them. Whatever that company can afford to pay, we need to pay those young men and women to go through these internships. And when they finish, offer them a job.
Thank you so much. And I just want to add to that. There are things going on behind the scenes. I think it's going to take, really, it has to start with our leadership. You know, we can't deal with the crime that's going on in our city if our leaders are not speaking to each other and they're fighting each other and they're trying to destroy each other. You know, together and united we stand, divided we fall.
That's right.
There's going to have to be some lines that's going to be have to be erased. Whenever a community comes together, then we can address the problem because no one person has the answer. There's not one person you're going to be able to vote for that has the answer.
That's right.
You know, because when we come together as a people, not a black people, a white people, not a Democratic people, a Republican people, you know, as a people, just come together. And when you care, you'll lay your differences aside. Let us come together. And come to the table, make some things happen. You know, I believe that there's going to take more intervention. We need people that are not afraid, that can get down to the root and go into where the problems are. Like, for instance, we have a program that we're funding that's coming up to deal with the what's going on at Matty V and Grand Park. Young men they don't have a chance. They're just getting certificates of attendance, and these are just feeder schools for prisons. You know, so we have to put programs, we have to intervene, we have to put things in place that give people hope, because when people don't have hope, that's when they want to go kill up. You know, we have to do something with the criminal justice system, because if a young man see his father and he has no hope, and if you're on probation, you get out of prison, you're on probation, you got all these fees, you know, you're getting out, you don't have any help, it seems like you don't have a chance. I'm telling you, when people get hope and people get help, we can get to the root of the problem. And when we come together as the leaders in this community, lay all the politics and all the games aside and come clean and come real, I know God will intervene and bless our city. And we don't have to go out like we're going out.
That's right.
We got another call on there.
Yes.
Go ahead, yes. Caller. You're on the air, caller.
Okay, yes. I have a question. How will we get in touch with our city councilman? Because we having a problem. I'm having a problem in my neighborhood with drugs. But the police have been on here several times, and they just can't seem to fix the problem. So I just need to go a step further.
And your question is, how do you get in contact with your council member? Is that what you're saying? If you can call in right after we're off the show, we'll give you more information.
Can
on
I add to that?
Okay, and go ahead.
And to the caller, this is Al. One of the things that we have that's really important is we have the Sheriff's Watch program. Are you familiar with that?
No.
They have a sheriff's watch program that's in every district of the city. The sheriff's districts are different than the city council districts. But what this does is it has an opportunity for you to go and meet in a safe place. In Arlington, they have it over at the Police Athletic League on the north side. They have it over at the Crown Plaza. And what you do is you can go to these meetings and you can actually talk and meet with the actual beat officers who actually patrol your area. You get to meet with the lieutenants, the sergeants, and you get to meet with the chief of the area. And you can tell, you can actually meet these folks and tell them where these problems are in a safe location, and they will actually go out there and do the patrolling and look into this thing and call you back. City council is really not, I mean, I don't want to discourage you. We can help you and we can relay these messages, but a lot of times you can go and talk with these police officers and tell them exactly where the problem is, what the description is, and they can get back with you and follow up on it immediately. And I'd be happy to give you my number and look into this and get somebody hooked up with you later. But I do want to let you know that there is alternatives. In some of these Sheriff's Watch meetings we had started off with about 8 people, and we've got about 70 people that are attending, the ones over in Arlington now. But they've been very good as far as helping promote safety in the area and helping with any of these things. And the other thing, too, is when you go to these meetings, you can learn about different things that are happening in your area. You can look at where you have sexual predators or break-ins and any of these other things to try to educate you on what we have in all the different areas. So it's a great question, and it's something we absolutely need to have everybody help us. It cannot be something where just the police do it. We have to have the community involvement. We're too big a city.
Okay, we have. Thank you so much. And can you please call in, because I don't want you to give your number over the air. We'll get your information and we'll get right on that. Do we have another caller on the air? Okay,
we had two. They hung up.
Yeah, we kind of long winded in here. But listen, if you're listening by radio or watching by Facebook, and I just want to apologize to my Facebook family. I'm going to talk to you. I don't know how many of you are still on, but you have been so patient to wait and to just hold on when there's no feed in through the radio. But I just want to thank our listening audience. Listen, if I'm talking on this radio and I'm not talking to anybody, it doesn't do any good. So thank you for tuning in to Praise 107.9. You know I'm here every Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and it is my honor and my pleasure. You know, I really love doing this. This is one of the jobs that I have that just is so fulfilling, to communicate with the community. And, you know, most of the time we're doing prayer and I'm prophesying and speaking into your lives. But I just wanted to really let you know that if you have any questions, we're going to come on again. We're going to have another Family, Faith, and Politics meeting, probably with some more representatives or people that want to come on. And I just thank God for this great group of elected officials and candidates that came in today, because you're touching our community in a special way. I thank you for your service, you know, and I thank you for all that you've done and that you're going to do. And it's my prayer that we'll be working together in Jacksonville, addressing all the needs and the problems of the people, because that's what it's all about, serving. If you serve God, you ought to have a passion to serve people. Darren, is there anything you want to say? Just one. We got a few seconds left to the people before we finish.
Absolutely. thank you, for one, for allowing me to share with you on today. But I think that this is a election that is very important, and I just want to encourage the listeners to not sleep on this one. Get engaged. Go vote. Regardless if it's a Democrat or a Republican, I'm a proud Democrat. So of course I would say vote for me. At the end of the day, we have some issues here in Jacksonville. And I'm running because I got tired of praying. You know, praying for change.
Faith without work is dead.
Yeah, and so we have to be able to know what we're praying about, because what we're praying for is on the ballot. Safety is on the ballot. Infrastructure is on the ballot. Reentry, how our new voters can adjust here in Jacksonville. Everything that we prayed about is on the ballot on March 4th, early voting, and March 19th. And so I just want to encourage your listeners to not sleep on this one, because this is a very important election.
Al?
Yes, please get out and vote. And, find these candidates that you feel that are having your same values, and support them. Don't just support them in votes. If you can go out and join them and help them, whatever you can do. We all need help, and it's very important that everybody gets out. Thank you so much for having us out here tonight.
Okay.
And thank you as well, Terrence Freeman. Thank you for having us. Hold up my little brochure, my flyer here. We just scratched the surface of each of our campaigns. And so if you have any questions, you can find me on voteterrencefreeman.com. Would love to call, love for you to call or email. I'm accessible, just like I am as a District 10 council member. We'll meet anyone anywhere to hear their concerns and see if I can bring a solution to their problem.
And how can they contact you, Al?
They can contact me through either Facebook. We have alferrero.com.
Alferrero.com.
And if anybody would like to help out, we can sure use it. Thank
okay.
you.
And Darren, how can you be contacted?
Darren4Jats, the number 4, .com, or Darren4Jats, the number 4 at gmail.com. And that does go straight to me.
Okay, and guess what? You know that you can contact me. I'm going to be here. I've been here. I'm been here before the election. I'm going to be here after the election. This is Apostle Kim Daniels here live at Praise 107.9. I pray that you've enjoyed this show. The next time we come on, we're going to be casting out devils, praying in tongues, prophesying, doing all the stuff y'all folk are stirred up about. But I'm trying to stir you up about getting out to vote. Remember the names Terrence Freeman, Al Ferraro, and my guy over here. Can you go one more time to this special, special candidate over here? Because we're trying to get him in office. Darren Mason. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. To contact Apostle Kimberly Daniels at Spoken Word Ministries, you can call her at 904-237-9363. Services are Sundays at 12 noon or Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Or you can be her friend on Facebook by logging in at State Representative Kimberly Daniels. Don't forget to like and follow. And join us again next Sunday evening at 6 here on Praise 107.9.